Let's go to the book of 1 John this morning, book for 1 John. Didn't realize how much the two messages this morning correlate with each other. And we're going to be teaching on the keeping the commandments, as we find here, primarily in 1 John. And what I would call benefits from doing so. Besides getting killed by not doing so, right? But let's notice here, chapter number 2, and I want to read verses 3 down to verse number 6, and notice what it says. 1 John 2, verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for the privilege to be able to open the Word of God. Now, Lord, I pray that you might bless us this morning. We pray for spiritual blessings by all means, understanding. Lord, I pray that you would give to your people something that would be they could use in their witness. And for this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. There's a phrase basically in this regard: keep his commandments. You find it 13 times in the New Testament and 6 times in 1 John. I want to read those. We just read one of them or two of them. But notice chapter 2, again, verse 3, it says, "Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And then he says in the next verse, "He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar." You go to the next chapter in verse 22 and says, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." 2 verses later it says in verse 24, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Chapter 5, verse 2 says, "By this know we that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." And then in the next verse, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Interesting statement. There's a number of reasons that are offered in the Word of God for keeping the commandments, but there's not one of them that involves getting saved. There is nothing that you can do to get saved. There's nothing you can do to keep yourself saved. There's a lot of folks that want to add to salvation works. By the way, that's a pride issue because they think they can do it. Most of us, we understand there's nothing good within us. That's what God says. And so we just can't do it. And yet there are those who believe that. Well, nobody gets saved by keeping the commandments. But we do find some things about keeping the commandments. It's marvelous. And those who keep the commandments of God exhibit a testimony that they are saved. Okay? Doesn't make them saved. It shows people they are. It's interesting. You get around certain people, you find you begin to kind of act similar. You're a testimony of being around them. A girl meets a guy and she just becomes nuts. In the eyes of a lot of guys, they're nuts to start with, but the same thing girls think about guys, all that business. But what happens? They begin to hang around them and they begin to do the things that the other one desires. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. So those who keep the commandments of God exhibit a testimony that they're saved. But I don't want us to look there so much this morning. I want to stop and look at the benefits to the individual when we're keeping the commandments of God. There's some tremendous benefits. I think the first benefit that is magnificent to me is the assurance of salvation. The assurance of salvation. Did you notice verse number 3 again? Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's assurance. Let's differentiate something more, because I believe it's very needful. There's a difference between having assurance and having security. The security of the believer comes from the promises of God. For instance, you read something like Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called, therefore God said he saved me. That's my security in him. I realize that it's all dependent upon him, and I feel secure in that dependence. Assurance, on the other hand, I believe as I look here and as I kind of take from this verse and other places, is from the actions of men. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, the way we behave gives us assurance. A person receives assurance by obedience to his word. Look at that again. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. By doing those, we have assurance. One of the first things I have found that takes place when dealing with people is they come to you and things have not just been just right in their life, and they've had some sin in their life, and they've not been reading their Bible, they've not been thinking of the things of God as they should. Their world is upside down. And sometimes they'll even say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. They lost their assurance of salvation. You can say, well, did you get it saved? Yeah, I got saved. You remember when it happened? Yeah, I can remember when it happened. But I'm not sure. They've lost the assurance of its reality. And what was the problem? They'd gotten away from God. And that assurance had left him. I believe that's why many Christians struggle with genuine assurance. They don't have it because it only comes by doing right and by living right. And if you look back in your life, those times that you were not doing that, I hope it's not right now, that you weren't just as sure as you would like to be. I believe that's something very needful in our lives. When we go to chapter 5, we clearly see something, and that is how we can know that we're born of God, and we're talking about security. It's by believing. If you go to chapter 5, just a moment, and notice with me verse number 1. Tremendous verses here. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. How do you get saved? You believe, okay? You believe Jesus is God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So in verse 1, it's talking about this is how we get saved. We believe that Jesus is born of God. And then part of how we can know that we love God, we keep in his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, verse 3, and his commandments are not grievous. Now that's an interesting statement as well. His commandments are not grievous. There's a reason for it, I believe. I've never sat down and done it, but there are folks who have. And I understand that there are 613 laws that are written down in the Old Testament. You say, I thought there's only 10. No, there's a whole bunch of them. A lot of them have to do with the ceremonies and the temple and all sorts of things. And there's 613 of those. You can't even name them all, let alone be sure you're doing them all. Wouldn't that be true? And so we look here and we say, well, his commandments are not grievous, but yet we look and say, how in the world are they not grievous when there's 613 of them and I can't even keep them all straight? Because I don't believe he's referring to those commandments. I think he's made it very clear when he stated that we are to love God and to love others. When you go to the New Testament, what did we find? The lawyer came to Christ and he says, what's the great commandment? And what did he tell him? To love God. And then he said, there's a second one, and that's to love your neighbor. And I have come to the conclusion that the whole Bible, if you want to make it simple in your mind, has to do with learning how to love God and to love people. Amen? And when those two things are taking place, wow. Wouldn't that be great if it was going on today? So we learn how to love God and we learn how to love people. And by the way, if you don't learn how to love God, you're not going to learn how to love people. And so to love God is to love what he loves. And who or what does God love? He loves us. To love people. Okay? And so in many ways, wow. How can we have assurance? We keep his commandments. We do what he says. What's his command? The biggest one is to love him and to love others. By the way, brethren, folks don't understand this or they don't stop and think about it. I'm not sure which. Do you know you can love somebody without not loving what they're doing? You might not like their actions, but you can love the person. And that's very, very needful. And that's the love of God to us, amen? I don't think he loved our actions at all, but he loves us. Okay? And so, what's one of the benefits? I believe it's assurance of our salvation. If you go to the next chapter, chapter number 3, and look at verse number 22, and let's notice what it says. Chapter 3 and verse number 22. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. What's the next few words? Because we keep his commandments. Well, and do those things that are pleasing his sight. And this is the commandment we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Kind of sound familiar there? And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I believe what we also say is, not only do I have assurance of my salvation because I keep the commandments, but also because I'm doing what he says. I'm walking with him. I'm trying to please God. And I ask him for something. I have a greater realization that he will answer. If you're living like a fool and you pray, do you really expect an answer? Probably not. But he answers our prayers. And it's interesting, too, the commandment that he refers to specifically in verse 23 is to love one another as he gave his commandment. You see, God wants to answer the prayers of the righteous. God wants to answer the prayers of those who are seeking to do after his will. Now, doing his will does not make God answer our prayers, but that's his desire. Let me ask you this. Are you more likely to want to be a blessing to a child that is compliant or one that is complainative? One that does what you say or one who rebels against you? God is a father to us. We are his children. And so we have that kind of relationship. And I think when we begin to look at prayer in that regard, it does not make sense if we're not doing his commandments. We're not very much in love with him. We're rebelling against him. And God has to do something else in our lives besides answer our prayers. He's got to straighten us out. There's another commandment given that talks about hindering our prayers. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, likewise, ye husbands. It talked about the wife for six verses, and it takes one verse for the men. Oh, how does he pack it together? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Men, we can kind of snicker a little bit with that. We understand something there. That is, we've got to know some things about the woman God has given us. And what we need to know is they're not made like us. They're not wired like us. If you could see the wiring inside of a woman, you would look at that and you say, how in the world? Because there would be wires going everywhere, connected everywhere. A man's is real simple. There's like four or five of them, they're connected together. So he says, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Isn't that interesting? The weaker one is to get the honor. And then he goes on, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And those that verse says so much about married life. Wow. But what I want us to see here is after he says, being heirs together of the grace of God, there's a colon. Are you there in your Bible? Do you see that colon? Punctuation's important. I've pointed this out many, many times. Or is that a semicolon? Just halfway there. There's something that's coming that helps us understand this. That your prayers be not hindered. Whoa. God says, dwell with them according to knowledge, give them honor, that your prayers be not hindered. Isn't that interesting? So God wants us to follow his commands and treat those right that are around us. We might love them, we might care for them in the right and the proper way, and it does not hinder our prayers in that regard. Think about that hindering the prayers. We're not keeping his commandments. I made a mention of it just a moment ago. We're not keeping his commandments. He's got to be busy doing some things to spank us, to get us headed in the right direction and so forth. And many times answering our prayers cannot accomplish that fact. So he doesn't, it hinders them. But walk with God and do what he says, and you have a marvelous promise. I believe there's one other thing that I'd like to share with you in keeping the commandments of God. Not only does it give us assurance of salvation and answers to our prayers, but it allocates a faithful witness of God's grace. When you and I are keeping the commandments of God, it shows the world that we love God. It shows the world we love God. Here's a question for you. By what you've seen, how many congressmen do you believe love God? Being serious there. When you look around at your workplace, how many people are there that you believe love God? How do you know that? Because of their actions. A sinful action proves a disregard to the holiness of God. In fact, in John 14:15, he said this, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And so keeping his commandments causes a demonstration of the Spirit's indwelling within you and me. In John chapter 14, in verse 21, listen to these words. Three verses, four. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Isn't that interesting? He says he will manifest himself to us. If we're willing to keep his commandments, He makes himself more fully known to us. We have a closer relationship. He goes on in verse 22 of this and says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. When you and I are willing to keep the commandments of God, by the way, until we get saved, we don't even care about it. We might have some a moral compass, but it's even broke. But when the Spirit of God comes to live within us, something takes place. There's a new man that is there. That new man has a desire to do what God says. And so he begins to order his life around the commandments of God. Not to get saved, but because he is. And as a result, we find that he has a greater manifestation of the Spirit of God, the greater manifestation of God himself in our lives. Because as we're living it and living in his word, he becomes a greater reality. You hear preachers sometimes talk about having a relationship with God. That's what we're talking about. How do you have a relationship? Well, you got to know what his commands are, so you read it. Because you love him, you do him. And as a result of that, you find a great attachment between you and God. There's something that is there. And here's what's really neat about that. That kind of relationship shows up to the world. You want a testimony in the world? It's not just opening your mouth and living like the devil. That says, I don't really care about it. But when they see that closeness of God, something takes place. Listen to what it says in Revelation. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Who did he go make war with? Those that have keeping the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? He puts those two together. There's a tremendous verse found in the book of Galatians. If you want to turn there with me, if I can get my numb old fingers to work. Any of you folks have neuropathy? It means you don't have any feelings. I have no feelings in my feet and very little in my fingers. I can't even feel my buttons to button them. One of the most difficult things I do in the mornings now is buttoning my shirt up. I can button my lip easier than my shirt. I think. If you go with me, chapter 2, verse 21, notice what it says. Or verse number 20, I'm sorry. Chapter 2, verse number 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you're going to be living by faith, is that faith taking in the direction of righteousness or unrighteousness? That's pretty obvious, isn't it? And so it's taken us in the direction of being righteous. It's taken us in the direction of sinlessness instead of sinfulness. And so when you and I keep the commandments of God because we have a love of God within ourselves, is because we're living by faith. We're believing that God wants us to do that, and God's going to bless us as a result of it. Will God bless you because you do right, or will He bless you because you do wrong? It's pretty simple to answer, amen? He blesses us for doing right. Now, I'm thankful for His grace when I do wrong. My, am I thankful, aren't you? But it's that very grace when I do wrong that gives me a greater love for the Savior who was willing to die for my sins and to change my life. And it ought to bring us closer together. That's an interesting concept. But God works in our lives in marvelous ways. And you and I, as a result of keeping the commandments, we can have assurance of salvation. Many have security because they read the Word of God and they see what it says, but they're not sure down inside. Let me take a survey for a moment. Have you ever been in a preaching service or maybe even by yourself and you wondered, did I really mean business when I called upon Christ as my Savior? You ever done that? Yeah, I see three honest hands. How many ever prayed, Lord, if I didn't mean business, then I sure do now? Have you done that? What was the problem? We didn't have assurance. Oh, we knew what the Scripture said. What happened to the assurance? We weren't living the way we should. We weren't keeping His commandments. And then there's answers to prayers. God promises answer to our prayers. But if we're not willing to do what He says, not willing to follow His commands, God's got to take care of that first. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. I heard a conversation the other day. I thought it was wonderful. We all know that, Doc, when you'd ask him how you are, he'd say perfect. And he looked and he saw in the Scripture of God, and it's very true, that in the eyes of God, you're made perfect. And so the question was asked, how are you today? And the person responded, perfect. And that person replied back, then how come God has to correct you all the time? I wish I'd have thought of that when Doc was alive. I'd like to have heard his answer. Anyways, you realize it's been a year? Almost. My goodness. Terry, it's been a little over a year? I can't even remember now. And, wow, time flies. Anyway, God answers prayers. And then we also find that when you and I keep His commandments, it allows us, or allegates, it gives to us a faithful witness to God's grace. When we're doing what's right, that's keeping His commandments, what happens? People see that. And by the way, they have enough sense to know that you weren't born that way. Something happened. It's called the grace of God. And especially folks who you may have grown up with or family members, and praise God. Listen, a lot of folks, they say to me, and I know it'll be true, I've felt the same thing, it's so hard to witness to relatives. Well, just do right. Just do right. Let your light shine, okay? And they might not want to hear from you, but they can't help but see you. And the change is there. And let it continue. A faithful witness. And we can destroy that so easily sometimes. Well, listen, let's have a word of prayer. And as normal, because we get started earlier, I'm done earlier, but gives you time, a little more time for fellowship. Father, thank you so much today for this time together. Thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you for the many benefits that are ours, though we've only looked at three. that we have as a result of keeping your commandments. Oh God, we know it's not to get salvation, but because we have it. And we thank you for those commandments. They never steer us wrong. You've given them to us that we might go in the right direction and we might have your true leadership, and that we, by following those, are doing so by faith. We pray that you might work on our hearts in the hour to follow. Pray, oh God, for some of our folks who are having sickness. Think of Mary, who's been dealing with this stuff for almost 2 months. And Lord, I pray that you just raise her up. Pray that you bless in the lives of your folks and keep each one safe. We realize we look at and we see the COVID, but oh God, we know there's so many things. More of us get killed on the highways and accidents. And if I read correctly, more people die from falling than almost anything else. And so, Lord, I pray you keep your folks safe, for we pray now in Christ's name. Amen.